Tuesday, August 6th, the Eureka City Council spent an hour receiving a police oversight report on Eureka Police Department's response to the Cal Poly Humboldt sit-in at Siemens Hall. That was the protest organized by Cal Poly students voicing objections to the university's investments that may be contributing to the bombing of Palestinians in Gaza. Eureka City Council also reviewed an introductory version of an ordinance being proposed to discourage unoccupied buildings within Eureka City limits. On April 22nd, the Eureka Police Department responded to a mutual aid call from the campus police on Cal Poly Humboldt campus when students protesting the bombing of occupied Palestinians seized control of Siemens Hall. Eureka's Police Chief Brian Stevens said,
"So on April 22nd, 2024, approximately 5:30 p.m., EPD received a request from Cal Poly Humboldt for assistance with a group of protesters that had entered and then occupied Siemens Hall on the Cal Poly campus. The initial response authorized was one sergeant and four officers. This allowed us to maintain our staffing responsibilities for the city and police the city. Not exactly sure how long it took, but within that first probably hour and a half, a Code 30 request came out from Cal Poly from the personnel on scene."
Code 30 calls are rare.
So, Councilmember, countywide Code 30 is a call for assistance from any agency in the county based on a circumstance that they're facing that's out of control, out of their realm of control, that needs immediate Code 3 response by any available officers, deputies within our county because of the situation's out of control. The times I've seen it used, I've used it once probably 20 years ago with a large fight we had in the middle of Fifth Street when a nightclub let out. I've seen it used when an officer was shot in Arcata at the plaza. They call for a Code 30. It got used when one of our officers was injured in a traffic collision as a part of pursuit, and the suspect was still fleeing, and we had a lot of stuff going on. An outside agency actually was on scene when it happened and called for a Code 30 because we had an officer down. So those are generally the types of circumstances that they're used for. From an agency standpoint, when it's called, we evaluate what's the response needed, what is that emergency they're calling us for, how many people can I send and still be able to maintain control of my own city, my own jurisdiction, be able to police that, and then are they giving us enough direction on where to go and what we're facing so that those officers or deputies that are responding know what they're going to encounter when they get there.
Altogether, Eureka's police department sent 20 officers who were on scene at least 4 hours. Additionally, there was a task force that stayed on duty in Eureka to monitor the protests at the courthouse as a result of arrests that had been made at Siemens Hall. Subsequently, the Eureka City Council asked for an independent review by Eureka's police auditor, the OIR Group, out of Long Beach. Tuesday, they received a presentation on that report. The report reads in part, "The Eureka Police Department team recognized that law enforcement was significantly outnumbered. Without a clear path of ingress and egress, there appeared to be no feasible way to accomplish a mass arrest. Moreover, the Eureka Police Department officers appeared to be the only responding team equipped with shields that are required for effective crowd management. Despite these circumstances, University Police Command gave orders to enter the hall and begin arresting protesters. Because they had shields, 4 EPD officers found themselves at the front of line in the Siemens Hall foyer, along with at least one Humboldt County Sheriff's deputy." Chief Stevens described what happened to an officer as the force tried to enter the building that night. Julia Rulin with the Independent Auditor OIR Group told the council that Chief Stevens has been fully cooperative and she praised him for implementing the recommendations quickly. Teresa Magula of the OIR Group said the basis of confusion lies in the mutual aid agreements that are a vital part of rural law enforcement responses.
"We did not, in our review of this, see any kind of immediate threat that would have warranted a law enforcement response to the hall in the way that it occurred. That was, again, outside the span of control of EPD. There was certainly reports of vandalism. Perhaps there was concerns about trespassing in the hall, but none of those would really warrant removing individuals from the hall or having that plan in the first place. I keep talking about span of control, and so some of the questions that you might be having might be, well, why didn't the EPD officers or supervisor on the scene do anything about that? Really, this points to some challenges with mutual aid. Mutual aid is a critical factor in law enforcement responses, especially in a community like yours, as Chief Stevens has already mentioned. It is essential that agencies are able to respond to help each other out when that need arises. But that can be really complicated, right? So officers arrived onto the scene, and they did not have the appropriate direction and command. But they were also somewhat limited in their ability to speak up about their concerns with what they saw when they arrived. We mentioned in our report that there was concerns raised by the supervisor in the course of listening to body-worn camera footage. And it's difficult to have a supervisor speak those concerns to another agency's chief of police. We think it's, of course, very important because of those kind of command structure challenges and mutual aid challenges that these agencies have a plan and communication well in advance of these types of incidents occurring. In particular, in this case, we had the influence of university administrators who had a particular goal in mind without perhaps understanding what that would look like being executed in the field. So they said, we want the building cleared. We want you to go in and arrest people. And I don't know that there was the communication and the discussion either at the moment or prior to that of what something like that looks like in real life.
Councilmember Mario Fernandez asked,
if we have the training, we have the resources, and we're being called to a situation that's at least on a smaller scale, similar to what had occurred in 2020, because I see it as a First Amendment issue, you know, with students expressing themselves. Of course, you know, UPD can feel how they feel. I'm just trying to figure it out. How is it that, you know, our officers are called there, but again, our chief has to show up and take command of the situation, or not necessarily take command of the situation, but be the one to offer the directives that would result in.
But City Attorney Autumn Luna.
And I just want to mention that this is a receive report situation. And so I think if we want to talk about how to do things differently or better in the future, we need to agendize that specifically. This is not an action item. So
the council says it will review its mutual aid policies and agreements in a future session. In another matter, the Eureka City Council heard from the city attorney regarding proposed ordinance 1038-CS, which hopes to resolve the problem of blight caused by unoccupied buildings. The proposed ordinance defines vacant buildings as any building or structure which is not being put to a lawful commercial, residential, or industrial use. City Attorney Luna said that while current municipal codes are used to compel building owners to upkeep and maintain their buildings, whether they are occupied or not, this ordinance will obligate owners to pay a fee for the city to inspect those buildings quarterly, and it will institute fines of $1,000 a month for the first year and $5,000 a month thereafter. Two council members and the mayor were not at the meeting, so the ordinance was tabled for a future meeting. This is Kelly Lincoln reporting for KMUD News.